All right. Good evening, gentlemen. As always, welcome to our monthly installment of 100 Men in Prayer. It is the November edition. We are still going. We started this back in April, right when the pandemic hit, and we were going every Monday for about 2 months, and then we switched to once a month. And we are excited to have a good friend of mine, Kendall McDowell, a brother of mine, let me say, that is here with us this evening. I have asked him to pray and talk a little bit about the importance or the significance of men worshiping. And that's literally all I said. So I believe that God will speak through him to us today. So Kendall, the floor is yours, my brother.
Good deal, man. Thank you so much for this opportunity, bro. And to all of the men, I can't see you, those of you that are on, but it's a pleasure to be able to share with you tonight. And also just, man, to engage in a time of devotion and prayer unto the Lord. And so before I get started, I'd like to just do a quick prayer, and then we'll pray again after I go through what the Lord has laid on my heart. So let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for this day, first and foremost, that you created with us in mind. Father, we recognize that because we are living, because we are breathing, because we have the activity of our limbs, God, because we have the opportunity to see another day, it is proof that there is still purpose that lies ahead. And so, Father, allow us to connect with what it is that's on your heart concerning us in this moment. Lord, we pray, God, that you would speak through me, Father, the things that you have laid on my heart to share with these men of God tonight. Father, I pray that it falls upon hearts that are open to receive and not upon stony hearts on tonight. Father, we give you praise and all the glory and all the honor. We submit this moment to you, and we are submitted also to your leadership. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So as RJ said, yes, it was that simple. He gave me a topic and told me to pretty much just kind of run with it. And so as I was praying for you guys, and the Lord began to stir my heart about a couple of things. And one thing in particular that the Lord really started stirring my heart on was actually the place of prayer. I know he told me to deal with worship, but anyone that is a worshiper understands that prayer and worship are literally twins. You can't really have one without the other. And so I don't believe in separating them at all. If you're going to live a lifestyle of worship, then you should indeed live a lifestyle of prayer. And if you're going to live a lifestyle of prayer, then you should live a lifestyle of worship. In fact, anytime there is some relation in the scripture to worship, what you will find is that there, to worship and to prayer in the word of God, what you will find is that in any context, in any situation, that word prayer or worship, whenever it is used, will always have a similar connotation as far as it relates to the Greek or the Strong's definition, the primitive even sometimes definition as it relates to those words. And one of those words that you will find in common each and every time is the word communion. Communion deals with being in close fellowship with God. And so you can't really worship unless you worship in close fellowship with God. In fact, the scripture says in 1 John that they that worship the Lord must do it in spirit and in truth. And so worship always involves some level of closeness. And then so does prayer. Prayer involves some level of closeness. Even if you study the life of Jesus, what you will find in the New Testament, whenever Jesus would take time to isolate himself in the place of prayer, the Bible would say that he would go to an isolated place, or sometimes he would find himself going to the mountain. And there's really nothing significant about the mountain other than the fact that it is away from everybody, and it was the closest that Jesus could get to feeling like he was with God. And so communion deals with close fellowship with the Lord, and you can't really walk in a strong lifestyle of worship and prayer if communion is not in place. And so we're going to deal more specifically with the place of prayer this morning, but you'll see the parallel as it relates to worship. And so tonight, The Lord gave me a scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And I'd love it if you guys would write this down. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And I'm just going to read it. We're going to really just pull apart this one scripture tonight. And then I believe we're going to be led into some powerful prayer time. All right. It says, in every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. So even in reading that, I think that's the NLT version that I have here. Even in reading that, you can already see the parallel between both prayer and worship, as it mentions men praying with uplifted hands lifted to God, which is a posture of surrender. And we'll talk about that, or even a symbolism of worship. All right. So in the second chapter, just to kind of give you guys some context tonight. In the second chapter of 1 Timothy, Paul encourages a great multiplication of prayer. You'll find this throughout the entire chapter of 1 Timothy, second chapter of 1 Timothy. The expected results are a political atmosphere conducive to Christian discipleship and a demonstration of fruitful evangelism. And so in the second half of the chapter, Paul addresses the first, he addresses the men, and then he addresses the women about issues specific to each gender. And so this is key for us to see tonight, because it sounds just like today. If we take the context of church more, you know, frankly, in the Western world, what we know, according to statistics, is that men are less likely to attend church or perform religious duties in and outside of the church than women. Doesn't say that there aren't men out there that are engaged in that way, but what it does say is that church and religiosity tends to be more highly influenced by the female gender. All right. So I believe as we step into this new era, I believe that this new era that we are upon, when I speak to the new era, I believe personally that this climate that we are experiencing in our society as it relates to social injustices and even the election, my God, and even, you know, the current COVID-19 pandemic and all of these things, I believe that devastation is God's way of using current events in order to turn a nation to him, or in order to turn a people to him. And so this is where we get repentance, which deals with the turning away from a thing and submitting unto the order and the sovereignty and authority of the Lord Jesus himself. And so I believe that this new era is really an invitation that's being extended from heaven specifically for men to take their rightful place and exercise their kingly authority in the place of prayer. I want to place emphasis on kingly authority in the place of prayer. There is a timbre, there is a pitch, there is a sound, there is an influence and authority that has been given to you by God as men to be able to tap into certain dimensions and into certain places that only a man has access to. And this is why anytime there is worship that has been notated in the scripture, specifically amongst men, you will always find that men were the ones to go first. Men were the ones to release their sound first. And the reason being is because there is a sound that has been placed in men by heaven and by God to literally clear the pathway for everything else that comes after it. Men don't just release sound, men sound alarms. Men do not just release sound, men sound alarms. And so I believe that this is a significant invitation that's being extended to us by heaven and by God himself for us to take our rightful place and to understand our kingly authority that has been given to us specifically in the place of prayer and worship. And so as men, we are to set the tone of our homes. We are to set the tone in our places of work. We are to set the tone in our places of worship. We are to set the tone in our community. And understand, this is actually what prayer and worship does. It sets temperature. Prayer and worship sets temperature. It sets the tone. And so when I make reference to us setting the tone, what that really is dealing with is even in a world of chaos, even when there are so many things that are stacked up against us as men, God has given us something in our sound that has the ability to change the dynamic of whatever it is that we are experiencing in the world. And so We have the power to change a lot of these realities and these truths that we are seeing in the world when we humble ourselves and we go before God in the place of prayer. And so when we back down on our stance in prayer, what happens is we limit what God wants to do among a generation. I want to say that again. Whenever as men, we back down on our stance of prayer, what we are doing is limiting what God desires or what he wants to do among a people in a generation. I want to explain that. The spiritual well-being of a man is important because it secures the message and influence of Christ, watch this, in generations to come. In generations to come. Why is this important? Because as men, God has given us the power to introduce generations into the world. He's given us the seed. He's given us the power to introduce generations in the world. So when we set the tone, our children and our children's children will follow in our footsteps, thus setting a generational standard of righteous living, honor for the Lord, and devotion for the place of prayer. I hope that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. So a part of you setting the tone is also setting a standard for generations to come. This is good. A part of you setting the tone is also setting a standard for generations to come, that there are children, those of you that have children, there are grandchildren that some of you may never have, don't even have yet, and great grandchildren. And there is a legacy that you are leaving behind, connected to your pedigree, that is going to be influenced by a life that you choose to live, surrendered to righteous living, honor of the Lord, and devotion in the place of prayer. And I want you to write this down, that my responsibility as a man is three areas: to live a life of, or a standard of righteous living, a standard of honor for the Lord, and a standard of devotion to the place of prayer. I read it again. My responsibility as a man is to live a life or a standard of righteous living, a standard of honor for the Lord, and a standard of devotion to prayer. Hallelujah. So in the scripture given today, the Apostle Paul addresses men in terms of their responsibility to prayer. And so I want to just kind of pick apart some revelation that the Lord kind of left with me today that I'd like to kind of extend to you guys as we read the scripture. Let's look at it one more time. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God." Let's stop right there. I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God. What does this mean, or what is this symbolic of? This is symbolic to men praying from a place of surrender. So I want to give you three areas that Paul is addressing in terms of a posture as it relates to men in prayer. The first one is men should pray from a place of surrender. Men should pray always from a place of surrender. What does that mean? My pastor says this very often. I think it's appropriate in this moment to share with you guys that self-denial is the highest form of worship. Self-denial is the highest form of worship. What does that mean? That means we live in a daily posture of yes. We live in a daily posture of yes. Whatever the Lord is leading me into and whatever the Lord is leading me out of, my answer is yes. That's what it means to live a life surrendered to the Lord. And it manifests in the form of self-denial. Giving up anything that could possibly keep me from living that those three areas that we just talked about. And I want to even leave this with you, that anything that has the ability to take you away from the presence of God or take you away from obtaining those three areas that we just discussed is an enemy to your future. It's an enemy to your future because all of those areas actually point to your future. It is what solidifies your future. It is what solidifies generations to come even after your expiration date. So the next part says this: free from anger and controversy. So I want men to pray with holy hands up to God. I want them to live a life that is submitted to a place of surrender. But then I also want them to be free from anger and controversy. That word anger is the word wrath. The word wrath. And then that word controversy is the word doubting. Doubting. So the second thing that the Lord shared with me that I'm going to share with you, the second posture that Paul addresses here is men should pray from regulated emotions. Men should pray from regulated emotions. Write this down. Instability of our emotions will affect the articulation of our words in prayer. Instability of our emotions will affect the articulation of our words in prayer. You will have a hard time praying when your emotions are unstable. This is why, as men, a lot of times the enemy will come after our emotions first, because he recognizes that there is an authority, again, that has been given to us in our sound. And in order for us to release our sound in the place of prayer, we've got to use our mouth. The scripture tells us that death and life is in the power of the tongue. So on the tip of your tongue is either your future or your past. And so the enemy recognizes that if I can get to their emotions, ultimately, I can affect what they have the ability to say in the place of prayer. This is very important. Your emotions have to be regulated. You got to deal with your emotions. And this is a hard thing for men, because a lot of times we feel like it's actually manly to not expose our emotions, when the reality is, nobody's asking you to expose your emotions, but what is a requirement is for you to deal with it. And if exposing your emotions is a part of you dealing with it, then that is something that you ought to do. Because the reality is, if you don't regulate your emotions, it will affect what you say. It will always affect what you say. I always say this all the time, that if the enemy can get our emotions, then he can get our mind. And if he can get our thoughts, if he can get this mental realm, then he can get the decisions that we have to make concerning our future. One of the reasons why it's very difficult sometimes when your emotions are unstable to make clear, concise decisions is because the enemy has attacked you in the area of your mind, which in turn causes you to be indecisive in your decision making, because your conscious, your mental is not clear. It's clouded, and it's clouded by what you didn't confront in your heart. And so whatever you allow to not be confronted in your heart will ultimately spill over into your mind, which in turn will affect what you say. And so the last thing that I want to share is, look back at the scripture. In every place of worship, and every time that you have the opportunity to open your mouth and render worship and prayer unto God, I want you to pray with holy hands lifted to God. I want you to pray from a place of surrender. I want you to be free from anger and from controversy. I want you to be free from anger and from controversy. Let's look at this last word, controversy. Remember, I told you that word controversy deals with doubting. Deals with doubting. Here's the third thing and the last thing, and we're going to pray. Men should pray from a place of faith. Men should always pray from a place of faith. Prayer is the language of faith. Prayer is the language of faith. And so you don't have language for prayer outside of faith. You do not have language for prayer outside of faith. Without faith, there is no meaning for prayer. Without faith, there is no meaning for prayer. And so for some of you, even as I'm talking, a lot of you probably got light bulbs going off, because you realize now, okay, now I can see why it's hard for me to pray, because the enemy has been after your faith. One of the reasons why it can be difficult for you to pray is because the enemy is after your faith, or he has gotten your faith and has held it hostage. Because he recognizes that if I can get your faith, then I can affect what you have the power to say, because it is the language. It is the language. It is the very language of prayer. And so your faith, even in this season, your faith cannot waver. Your faith cannot die. Your faith cannot lose momentum, because if your faith loses its place, you won't have language for prayer. You should always be in a place of exercising your faith so that you in turn can always live a life that is submitted to prayer and submitted to worship. Amen. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. I hope that that helped you guys. I hope that that was a blessing for you guys. Like I said, I just wanted to share that that had been on my heart concerning you. Really, all of this, all day today, the Lord was very clear that I should share that with you all. And so I pray that it was a blessing to you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer in this moment. Father, we honor you. Father, we honor you and we thank you for this opportunity. This is a moment that has been carved out before we even knew it. Before we got here, you were already here. And so, Father, we thank you for every word that has been released. I thank you for every man that is listening to me right now in this moment, that is on this Zoom call, for every man that has made the sacrifice to step away from their families and to step away from their normal routine in order to carve out this space and this time to commune and to be with you and to hear from you. Father, I thank you for their sacrifice. And I pray even now, God, that even for their sacrifice, that you would give them the reward of their sacrifice. And we understand that the reward of our sacrifice of being in your presence is always you yourself. It is always the person of Jesus. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would reveal Jesus within these men like never before. I pray for revival to infiltrate their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for touching their finances. I thank you for blessing their homes. I thank you that their health is secure in the name of Jesus. I even thank you, God, that anxiety is not going to be a part of the future of these men that are under the sound of my voice, because they are committed to living a life of righteousness. They are committed to living a life that is devoted to the place of prayer, and they are committed to living a life that pleases you. And so, Father, I pray that in exchange of their commitment, God, that you would give them stability in their minds and stability in their emotions in the name of Jesus. And I even pray, God, that you would give them the boldness and the strength to be able to open their mouths and confess to themselves what's wrong with them. Because we have the tendency as men to bottle our emotions and to keep things locked down because we don't want to come off as soft, or we don't want to come off as intolerant. We don't want to come off as if we don't have any control of ourselves. But Father, I come against that enemy and that spirit that has tried to convince the men of God that they are weak if they speak up. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would show them your power in the place of their weakness. As you promise in your word, that your strength is made perfect when we are most weak. And so, Father, I thank you that weakness is not a sign or a sign of the lack or the absence of you, but it actually is an invitation to receive a supernatural strength that we can only get in access to you. And so, Father, I thank you for releasing upon these men of God supernatural strength upon their lives in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that as you give them strength, you are also sending them into deeper realms of creativity and innovation. I thank you that their intelligence is coming alive in a way like never before. I thank you for the brilliance of these minds in the name of Jesus. I thank you that even in a pandemic, you're going to begin to show them dreams and ideas and vision as it pertains to their future. I thank you, God, that you're giving them strategy. You're giving them order. You're even allowing them with teams. I thank you for sending individuals from the north, south, east, and the west to link arms with them and to produce the thing that you have called them to produce in the earth. I thank you for the engineers that are watching. I thank you for the educators that are watching. I thank you for the pastors that are watching. I thank you for the ministry leaders that are watching in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that as we enter into a new year, as we enter into a new era, that before this year ends, God, that you begin to deal with these men. man concerning the future of their lives. I thank you, God, that even as they sleep and they close their eyes, God, that you're going to be releasing and downloading to them things that can only be perceived by the spirit world and things that can only be perceived as they have access to the unseen dimension. And so I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you will begin to mightily reveal yourself in the lives of these men in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that in times where they want to grow slothful, in times where they want to be lazy in the pursuit, I thank you, God, that you will begin to pull them to a place in you, Father, that allows them to see that nothing else matters than being in the presence of God. I thank you that the presence of God is not just our safe place, but it's our escape. Hallelujah. I thank you that you're going to be creating a place for these men of God to escape in your presence, not just to feel safe, but also to escape. Even in times where we don't necessarily need safety, just in those moments, Father, where we just need to get away, when we just need to disconnect and relieve ourselves from the cares of the world, I thank you that your presence is going to be the solution for those moments. And I pray that you will continue to remind these men of God that they are special to you, that they are the apple of your eye, that there is nothing that they can ever do, no mistakes that they have even made in the past that would allow you to disconnect yourself from them. I thank you that as they begin to draw near to you, hallelujah, that you are drawing near to them, hallelujah, as it's been promised in your word. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the revelation of Jesus coming alive in these men of God. Even in this moment, God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the seeds that have been planted by this word that you have given me. And Father, I pray, God, that it will fall on fertile soil. And God, that something unique, something significant, and something special would be birthed and blossomed out of this moment because of the word of God falling fresh upon their lives. God, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you all the glory and all of the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Kendall. Amazing word. I am honestly always blown away by you and your ministry and just your sincerity to the word of God. I can speak from, you know, having known you for several years now, and I've got a couple of other brothers that are on here that are ministers of music, and I can honestly say that you all are a prime example that, you know, when you have word in you, you can see beyond singing and just being able to articulate God's word in that realm. It's amazing. Thank you so much for that word this evening. Brothers, thank you for joining as always. I didn't give Kendall a heads up, or I think I did kind of, but I want us to sow into his ministry. This is something that we have been doing every Zoom call that we have had. It's not mandatory. You're not obligated to do so. I always preface this by saying that my wife and I have been tremendously blessed during this pandemic. And we have not missed a paycheck. We have not missed a meal, a car payment, a mortgage payment, anything. So it was literally laid on my heart to bless those who have surrendered their time and submitted their time to this call. So if you can join me, we are going to sow into Kendall's ministry. So I am going to collect all of the funds and then add to it and sow it directly to Kendall. So if you can join me, I just put my Cash App into the chat, which is $PEMGives. If you can join me in sowing whatever God lays on your heart, we are going to add to it and get it straight directly over to Kendall. Again, we just thank you for sharing. For those who listen to this after this Zoom call, pray that it blesses you as much as it has blessed those of us that are here live. So brothers, thank you again. We are back next first Monday in December. I believe it is December. Make sure I get the date right. December 7th. So we are back on December 7th, 7 o'clock. We are going to close it out for the year. and I will be leading us that evening, kind of stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit. But Holy Spirit laid this on my heart back in April to start, and I believe he is leading, guiding, and directing me to close us out in the month of December. So if you are available, would love if you would join on December 7th. I believe that God will truly have a great opportunity to speak through me, and I pray that it blesses everyone as much as every speaker has blessed us since April. Kendall, thank you again for being here with us this evening. Brothers, again, if you can join in sowing into Kendall's ministry. Kendall is an amazing worship leader. He has lots of music on Apple Music, iTunes, Google Play, everywhere that digital music is available. Please be sure to search for Kendall McDowell and Raw. Just phenomenal minstrel. Thank you again for leading us tonight. And we look forward to seeing more from your ministry. And we pray that God refills you for everything that you have poured out this evening. Thank you again, brothers, for being here. And
appreciate you, brothers.
Absolutely. We will see you again in December. Have a great rest of your week, brothers.